We're going to look at the passage in Exodus, but before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that we have before us now. We pray for your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to help us to understand what we read. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So they shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Well, these are the well-known words of the Ode to Remembrance, repeated on Anzac Day or Remembrance Day, when those that gave their lives in war are remembered. It seems to me that in modern Western culture, we don't highly value the importance of remembering. Maybe this is one of the few exceptions, but even then, probably the focus is more on a holiday from work than of remembering those that died, unless we have a relative that did die in the war. Maybe we think, well, we can't change the past, therefore we're not worth worrying about. Or maybe we think, what relevance does the past have on the future? Well, during Anzac Day, not only are we looking back, but we're also remembering the horror of war to make sure that in the future we don't end up in the same situation where people have to give their life for their country. And God is aware of the importance of remembrance, and he has commanded us in his word to remember the past. The past has a major impact on our lives, whether for good or for ill. The way that we're brought up has an impact on the way that we live, whether we like it or not. We have to acknowledge that the past has a great part to play. And as we come to the book of Exodus this morning, we see God's concern that we remember his great saving acts in the Bible. We've come to the point in the story where God has sent the plagues against Egypt, the 10th plague of the killing of the firstborn. Pharaoh has had enough. He can't stand before God anymore, and he tells the Israelites that they can go. And we see them leaving Egypt not just by the skin of their teeth, but taking with them the riches of Egypt. The Egyptians are so scared of them that they say they can take whatever they like as they leave. But then in the midst of the story, the pause button is pressed, as we've seen previously in this book. And in the midst of the story, we have these instructions about consecration of the firstborn and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, what's the purpose of having these stories? It's not like the ad breaks when you're watching the movie and the ads come on and you go and get a cup of tea and ignore what's happening. At this point in time, it's really important that we stop and read about what God is saying to his people. Because the day that they are to remember is the greatest day in the history of their nation. This is the day that marks their beginning, really, as a nation in the land of Canaan. This month is to be the first month of their year. This is the day that will define who they are and what the future will hold for them. This day, above all days, is to be remembered by them and all generations to come. And the key verse in our message this morning is found in verse 3 of chapter 13. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate, or more accurately, remember this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Well, the subject of today's message is simple. It's remember, remember the saving one. And we're going to look at what is to be remembered, the reason for remembering, and how we are to remember. Now, the majority of the passage talks about how we're to remember, but as we're not Israelites who've come out of Egypt, the way that we're to remember is very different from what we read in the passage. So we're going to learn from the passage how we are to remember what God has done for us. So firstly, what are we to remember? Well, the Israelites were to remember that they came out of Egypt, as we saw in verse 3. Remember the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. They are to remember that they were saved from slavery. The Lord saw the misery of his people in Egypt. He heard them crying out because of the slave masters, and he was concerned about their suffering. They are to remember that they were saved by the mighty hand of God as he brought the 10 plagues on Egypt, culminating in the killing of the firstborn. Pharaoh, who was initially so full of arrogance and bravado, remember him saying, "Who is this Lord that I should serve him?" is brought to his knees and he says, "Go, worship the Lord as you have requested." He cannot stand any longer before the judgments of God. Well, what is it that we are to remember? As God's people, we are to remember that we too have been saved from slavery, the slavery of sin. Both Jesus and Paul talk about the slavery of sin. Sin is not just something we do or don't do. Sin is a master that controls how we live. Jesus came to save us from sin and to set us free so that we might follow him with new life. Remember that sin used to control the way you lived. Remember that you used to live for yourself, that you used to do what you wanted to do. Remember that you used to live gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We are to remember also that we've been saved by the mighty hand of the Lord. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so too are we raised from death to life by the mighty hand of God. We're raised by God's incomparably great power. That power is the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named. Never forget what you've been saved from. Okay, you may not have been the Apostle Paul who went around murdering Christians on putting them in prison, yet remember your old life. Remember your old master. Remember the old hopelessness, emptiness, and brokenness that you felt. Remember when you cried out to God for mercy. Remember when he heard your cry and came to save you. Remember the joy, the peace, the new love, the new hope, the new direction and purpose that he gave to your life. Remember Jesus dying on the cross to take the punishment for your sin. Remember Jesus rising from the dead that you might have eternal life. But secondly, why are we to remember these things? Why did God want the Israelites to remember their salvation from Egypt out of the land of slavery? Well, verse 9 of chapter 13 hints at the answer. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. Having been saved, they are to live out the story of their salvation in the way that they live their lives. The laws that God gives his people to live by are perfectly suited to those who've been redeemed from this land of slavery. And they're to be so much a part of their lives that they're to talk about them in their day-to-day life, and they're to think about the implications of what they have been saved from. When God tells the children of Israel the Ten Commandments, he begins with these words: "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." In other words, what he's saying is, I've saved you from slavery. This then is how I want you to live. And the same is true for us. We've been saved from the slavery of sin. Let us live, therefore, as those who've been saved from the slavery of sin. And this is not just as important for how we're to live, it's also important for the motivation behind the way we are to live. God never gave laws to his people so that they could earn salvation or his love or his favor, even in the Old Testament. That's a common misunderstanding that the Old Testament is all about obeying laws, and if you obey the laws, you'll be saved. But God never gave his laws to the people so that they could be saved by them. He gave them his laws so that they might live a life of thanksgiving and worship to their God. And the same is true of us. We're not to be motivated in the way that we live, trying to repay God back for his mercy, or to earn favors from him, or to make up for our own failings. We're to live as those who've been freed from sin because we have been freed from sin. And therefore we're to live a life that pleases our Heavenly Father, because sin is no longer our master. Well, how can we live like this? How can we live in a way that shows our thanksgiving to God and our worship to God? Well, it's by remembering the past. Remembering what he has done for us will enable us to live life in the way that we ought to. I just want to take a few verses from the Old and the New Testament to show this. They tell us that we're to live without fear. Moses tells the people, you may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all in Egypt. You saw with your own eyes the great trials, the signs and wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. As they see those nations that they're to conquer, they don't need to be afraid because God is the one that delivered them from the land of slavery. And as we think of our own lives, if God raised Jesus from the dead, defeating Satan and sin, why should we be afraid of any enemy or power or obstacle that we can face? There is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. We're to live aware of our own failings. Moses again tells the people, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God has given you the good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember this and never forget. We're not saved because we're good enough. We're saved because we need salvation from sin. And therefore we ought to be humble, acknowledging our own dependence on God. And we're also to live remembering that everything that we have comes from our Heavenly Father. Moses says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We live in a land of plenty, don't we? We have nothing that we lack. How are we going to be kept from pride and thinking that we've achieved it ourselves? By remembering that it's the Lord who's given us these things. He is the one that has redeemed us and saved us. He is the one that loves us and cares for us. We're to live with liberality to those in need. When you release slaves, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Give to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Have you experienced the liberation from slavery? Be generous, be liberal in the way that you use the gifts that God has given you. Give them to help those who are in need. Or come into the New Testament, we see the same pattern established. We are to live in unity and peace with each other. Remember that you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity, thus making peace. Have you been brought into God's new humanity? Are you part of the body of Christ? Then we are to live in peace and unity with one another. We are to be light in the darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Have you been saved by the light of the world? Then live as the light of the world to others. There's also another reason for remembering God's salvation. We're not only to live it out, but we are to pass on the story of salvation. Verse 14, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. If God's salvation is so life-transforming, then we must pass it on to others. We must teach our children why we live the way we do. Moses later on says in Deuteronomy, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. When our children ask us, why do we go to church on Sunday? We're to tell them because of what the Lord has done. Why are we to love our enemies? Because Jesus loved his enemies. Why are we to tell the truth? Because the God who loves us tells us we are to tell the truth. Every aspect of our life is to be governed by our redemption in Christ. And that's to be lived out in the way that we live so that our children can see the impact and the difference that our faith makes. And the same is true for those outside the church, those we rub shoulders with week by week, day by day. Our lives are to reflect the fact that we've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And therefore that's to have an impact on the way that we live. And we're to live in such a way that people ask us, well, why do you live the way you do? It's because of what we have experienced of salvation from God. What a challenge for all of us this morning. How are you living your life? Are you living in such a way that others take note and they ask you, why do you live the way you live? And then thirdly, how are we to remember our salvation? This passage gives the Israelites two memorials by which they are to remember the exodus from Egypt. First, there is the consecration or dedication of the firstborn of both animal and human. Verses 1 and 2, Moses is told by the Lord that they are to consecrate the firstborn of both human and animal. And in verses 11 to 13, he goes into the detail of how this is to take place. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. Now, to offer to God our firstborn means they have to offer them as a sacrifice. But God doesn't want them to sacrifice their firstborn sons. And so in his grace, he provides them a lamb that they are to offer as a sacrifice in the place of their sons. And the same with their animals. The clean animals are to be offered as a sacrifice, but the unclean animals, those animals that do the work, like the donkeys, they are to be redeemed by the sacrifice of a lamb so that they can continue to do the work for their master. Well, what's the purpose of this memorial? Well, it's to remember that the firstborn of the animals and humans in Egypt were killed unless the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb, was sacrificed. and the blood was put on the doors and on the lintel. So God is reminding the people that through the sacrifice of a lamb, that which is to be killed to the Lord is to be offered, is to be kept back by the offering of a sacrifice. The redemption is the payment of a price so that they might be freed from their obligation to be sacrificed themselves. And then secondly, there is the commemoration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In verses 3 to 7, it talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, how they are to consecrate that feast. It's to last for 7 days, starting on the 14th day of the month and going through to the 21st day of the month Abib. During those days, nothing with yeast is to be eaten, only unleavened bread. And why is this? In verse 8, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. When they came out, they had to come out in haste. In case Pharaoh changed his mind, they had no time to bake the bread and let it rise. And so they had to leave in haste with unleavened bread. And so that memorial is to remind them of the way that they had to leave Egypt once God did that great work of redemption. Well, what can we learn from these two memorials that God has given to Israel? Well, the genius of these memorials is that although the people to celebrate them are the next generation to follow in the land of Canaan, they are to remember as those participating in the actual events. The new parents, as they celebrate the life of their firstborn, are to sacrifice a lamb and to see the blood flow to remind them of the blood of the Passover lamb that was shed to protect the firstborn from death. And all the Israelites taking part in the Feast of Unleavened Bread are to eat the bread without yeast, reminding them of the fact they had to leave in haste. So all those taking part are to actively take part in the remembrance by eating the unleavened bread, and also by sacrificing their firstborn, sacrificing the lamb instead of their firstborn. But the participation is not only visual, it's also verbal. By just doing those things on their own, they don't really help. But so there's an explanation that goes with them. So the parents are to tell their children why they are doing these things. And so together, through the visual picture and through the verbal commentary of what is happening, they have a powerful remembrance of what took place when they came out of Egypt. Well, what memorial are we to celebrate that combines these features? Well, it's no coincidence that on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus took bread and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then taking the cup said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." As Christians, when we take part in communion, we are participating in the drama of our salvation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" This participation is both visual and verbal. As we eat and drink, we see in picture form Jesus' blood being shed and his body broken on the cross. As we eat and drink, we remember that Jesus is the one who sustains and satisfies us, the one through whom we have eternal life. And as we take part, the words that we hear, "This is my body broken for you, this is my blood shed for you," remind us of what those symbols represent. Well, how effective is your remembering when you take communion? As you eat the bread and drink from the cup, does your mind go to Golgotha, where there stand three crosses on that hill? Do you see in the middle hanging the Lord of glory, lifting up on a cross? Do you remember him broken, bleeding, dying for the forgiveness of your sin? Do you remember he's taken your place, taking the punishment that your sins deserve? Do you remember his love that took him there to die that you might live? Do you remember that he was forsaken by his Father that you might never be forsaken? This is why we celebrate communion. We don't do it because we deserve to do it. We don't do it because we're good enough or godly enough or faithful enough. We take communion because we know that we are sinners. We know that Jesus died for our salvation and that we need to come and to remember. We're not coming because we deserve to come or to earn his approval, but we're coming because we know the curse of sin. We know the slavery of sin. We know the guilt of sin. And so we're coming to remember that cursing has been turned to blessing, that slavery has been turned to freedom, and that guilt has been turned into peace. The more unworthy you feel, the more you need to come and participate in the memory of salvation from your sin. Well, communion is not the only way that we're to remember, but it's the chief memorial that we are to celebrate as God's people. Through daily Bible reading and prayer, through meeting together for public worship on a Sunday like this morning, these are all great ways to help us to remember our salvation and our Saviour. And we can and should develop our own ways of remembering what Jesus has done. And we can be a memorial to each other as we live out our salvation in the way that we love and care for each other, and in the way that we overcome suffering with faith and even with joy. We can remind each other of the great salvation that we have received. So as we finish this morning, how is your memory? How good is your memory of what Jesus has done for you? Do you remember the saving one dying on the cross just as a distant event that has no impact on your life now? Do you just remember the fact, oh, many years ago I made a decision to follow Jesus, but does it have an impact on your life now? As the living Lord of your life, we are to remember what he has done. And that memory is to impact every area of our lives. The way that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we live are to be impacted by what we have experienced of the saving death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that death and resurrection, is that memory of that event transforming and changing your life? Are you becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross so that we might be free. And we pray that as we remember what you have done for us, we pray that that might transform and change the way that we live our lives. Help us to live our lives in thanksgiving to you, in worship to you for what you have done for us. Help us to live such lives that will be a witness and a testimony to your grace, so that others see in us will see the Lord Jesus. We ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen.